to Luke 24:27. Don't get too discouraged about Wednesday nights. Attendance goes up and down, and a lot of these people will be back, and they're out sick and all that. Our Sunday morning is still 90-something average. We're still averaging 90-something on Sunday morning. So keep praying and keep sending out those cards and making those calls. But when it gets right down to it, it's a personal thing. You know, they just have to make choices. And I don't, as far as I can remember, nobody's ever had to send me a card to ask me to come back to church. I do it to people, I send them, but every time I do it, I think, you know, nobody's ever sent me one of these. Oh, they never had to. Luke 24:27. I like church. I don't look for excuses to stay out. I look for excuses to go. Amen. Luke 24:27, and they'll be back. We got a lot of folk, regular folks out tonight, you know, but Sunday morning, still doing real good on Sunday mornings. Amen. All right, Luke 24:27. We've been talking about types, and I really thought people might get excited about this. I hope you're not bored, but you know. Just let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at Luke 24, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When I started this, I said Jesus is in every book of the Bible. He's all the way through it. Now, in the Old Testament, he's in types or shadows, things that resemble him, things that you could kind of say, well, that looks like what Jesus did. And so Jesus, in this passage, is resurrected from the dead. He's on the road to Emmaus. And he comes up on these fellas, you know, and they talking about what they've seen, his crucifixion and all these things. And they didn't even know he rose from the dead. And so he begins to talk to him in his resurrected body. They didn't recognize him. And then all of a sudden, they recognized him. Okay. And verse 26, he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus even preached these things about himself. And he started over at Moses. First five books of the Bible is what he's talking about here. And he expounded through the first five books. And he expounded through the prophets and all these things about himself. And so in Luke 24:44, if you look at it, Luke 24:44 says this. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things, say that, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So he told them, haven't I told you while I was with you that all of that was about me? And in Hebrews 10:7, Jesus said, behold, I've come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. In the volume of the book. That means the whole book. In the volume of the book. In Colossians 2:16-17, I'm going to paraphrase it. It says that all those new moons and all those Sabbaths and all those ceremonies were a shadow of things to come. A shadow of things to come. Now that's a good way to depict Christ in the Old Testament. A shadow, you can't clearly see it, but you think, well, I think maybe that's old Ron over there, you know, like some of y'all with bad eyesight do in the daytime. The New Testament identifies a lot of those shadows and types that are in the Old Testament. John 3:4, you don't have to turn there. We'll get to my sermon in a minute. John 3:14 compares Jesus with that brazen serpent there in the wilderness. He said, as the serpent was lifted up, the Son of Man will be lifted up. In John 6, he compares Jesus with manna. He said, Moses did give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. and for the bread of God is he who comes down, he says. And then in Romans 5:14, he says Adam is a type of him who was to come. And in 1 Corinthians 5:7, he says, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sanctified for us. In 1 Corinthians 10, he says that Israel drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Hebrews 10:20, he says, we have a new and living way which Jesus consecrated for us through the veil, which is his flesh. Amen. So all through the New Testament, it talks about how he was seen in the Old Testament. Now, I feel sorry for people that just don't read the Bible because they miss so much. And the preacher will preach something, and the people don't even preach it anymore. They preach about, you know, being sad or lost your money or lost your dog or lost your cat or something. Now it's all about emotions. But all through the New Testament, it's showing you pictures back in the Old Testament how Jesus fulfilled all of these things through all those thousands of years. He was talked about and pointed out. And now here we are in the New Testament. Now, the law commanded sacrifices for sin, right? Each sacrifice pointed toward Jesus Christ. Circumcision has its fulfillment in Christ because he helps put off our old sinful flesh. That's what circumcision pointed to. Hebrews 4 says that the people enjoyed on the Sabbath, and that the people enjoyed the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was a type of rest that Jesus gives. And by the way, I don't know why people don't like our Sabbath. Sunday is a type of rest. I don't know any other day. And I was really disappointed in Chick-fil-A. I saw a news clip of the CEO of Chick-fil-A yesterday, just short news clip, and they were interviewing her on, she's the granddaughter of the man that created it. And she's put out a book about the success, how to start successful businesses and stuff by that model. And so the news lady was interviewing her, and she said, well, you know, it takes hard work and it takes dedication. And it takes good organization. You got to have a good product. You got to have good employees and all these things. And so the woman kind of needled her. She said, well, tell me more about your employees. What kind of people do you hire? She said, well, we only hire good people that work hard and they want to go the extra mile and extra service and all these things, bragged on the people while. And then she had to needle again. She said, well, tell me about... You're the only restaurant that closes one day a week now. She said, yeah, we close one day a week. She never did say Sunday. We close one day a week to give our employees a day with their family and a day to rest and relax because that makes them better employees. Never did say Sunday. Never said the Lord's Day. Now, that ain't where her grandpa started at. Now, you watch what I tell you. Some things are going to slip. If this woman's in charge, some things are going to slip.
Yes.
For years, we used to get groceries at, what's the name of that grocery store we used to go to on Cherry Road? What?
Community Cash.
South Carolina, I think it was, owned, family owned it. They didn't sell alcohol. And they did a great business. And as soon as the old people started, it died, the young ones took it over and started selling alcohol, and that don't even exist. You watch. Listen. The Sabbath is as important as anything else. Now, our Sabbath's on Sunday because that's the Lord's Day. That's the day he rose from the dead, and he met on the first day of the week, so we meet on the first day of the week. But when you start laying that aside, there's other things that start falling aside, too.
Yes.
Not only in business, but in personal life, too. You lay Sunday aside, you lay church attendance aside, and pretty soon there'll be other things you laying aside, too. You go ahead and listen to me. And it don't have to matter, sis, I'm glad you got a burden. I got them, too, because I'm pastor. But no matter how many cards I send, no matter how many calls I make, no matter how many visits I make, if they've laid Sunday aside and they've started laying other things aside, the old world's just...
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
And it don't take like it doesn't take about four Sundays to be out of church. Four in a row, you'll be out of church. That's the truth.
Yes.
And you can make all the excuses you want to. Well, the preacher preached too long, or nobody shook my hand, or whatever you want to say. You know, that woman wears a perfume that hurts my nose. You know, or that guy stinks. And I've heard all of them. And but if you lay the Sabbath aside, which represents the rest in Jesus Christ, that's what that's a type of, rest in Jesus Christ, and you get out of that rest and your life will be in turmoil. I didn't even mean to preach on that, but that's a good example. Now, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 12 tonight. Here's an example of a type of Christ. Now, I don't know why more people don't want to know this. You know, you're not going to hear this on TV. Exodus chapter 12. I found this out that most people don't want deep Bible study. They just want a little tidbit, just enough to do for the moment, you know. Exodus chapter 12, look at verse 3. Now, we're going to talk about the Passover lamb. Jesus Christ was a type of the Passover lamb. Look at Exodus 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Notice that, a lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Means each family, each household. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him take his neighbor next unto his house, take it according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. In other words, if there's only one at your house, go at your neighbor's house. 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep, or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Now he told them to start on what day? The 10th day? And yeah, on the 10th day of the month. And now he says you keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. That doesn't mean one. Every household kills theirs, okay? And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on each side of the doorpost, and on the upper doorpost of the houses. Of course, that blood's going to drip down, and you got blood this way, so you made a cross. Wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now, we'll just stop right there for just a second. Now, he tells us they're remembering the day that the Holy Ghost, the death angel, not the Holy Ghost, the death angel came through Egypt and killed all the firstborn of every house. Not only the Egyptian, but the Jew too, if they didn't have the blood. And it killed the first boy and the first goat and the first cow and the first everything, the firstborn. And so he's telling them, this is how we remember that. This is the Passover feast. This is how we remember that. Okay? Now, look at verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded. That means your skirt pulled up and tied up so you can run. Okay? Your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. Hurry up. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, that's where we get our song, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. In other words, you got to remember this. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. In other words, he said this is something that Israel's going to do from now on. So you'll remember how good God's been to you, okay? Now, turn to John 19. John 19. Now, we're talking about a type. Now, there's the Passover. There's the shed blood. There's a lamb, perfect, without blemish. There's a lamb. You're that preacher back there. Stay out of my preaching. No, I'm teasing. You're fine. You're fine. I remember when I was a young preacher, I'd sit there and my pastor I'd see things that he wasn't saying and I wanted to say them so bad. Of course, I was raised in the South and taught better than to interrupt people. So John chapter 19, look at verse 36 in John chapter 19. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Now, of course, it being a perfect lamb without blemish, if it had a bone, what would broken, what would that be? A blemish. So it couldn't have a bone broken, couldn't have a blemish, okay? And so Jesus was on the cross, dying for our sins, without blemish, without spot, okay? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. I had the hiccups before we started. And y'all ain't never heard the hiccups till you heard my hiccups. Ain't right, Terry? It was awful. It was awful. I went there and prayed and stretched and drank water and everything else. I thought Tom was going to have to preach. And I thought, man, he don't look like preaching now. No, he ain't ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. Now, do you remember what he said about the Passover feast? What kind of bread was it? Unleavened. Leaven does what? It rises. But the reason it does that is you're putting an impurity in that bread. Leaven is a type of sin because it's in... What you're doing, you're putting something in there from outside. And leaven represents the world and the things of the world. So therefore, they had unleavened bread. All right? Now, he said, now we ought to put out leaven from our lives. But he says, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. There it is. Christ our Passover. Yes. Not the Jews' Passover. It was a lamb. This is our Passover. Now, if you didn't know the story of the Passover in the Old Testament, that wouldn't be a blessing to you. That's why he says, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, that need not be ashamed. What? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you know there's preachers all over this town that doesn't know what that means? I'm telling you the truth. It shocks you how many preachers nowadays have absolutely no training and have no Bible education, and a lot of them think they don't need it. And I need people to teach me things. And when you think that you're so spiritual you don't need anybody to teach you something, that's called pride and you're living in sin. He says he gave us apostles and teachers and preachers. And listen, we all need somebody to teach us. Now, these things are important. Types are important. People say, well, I don't preach the Old Testament. I just preach the New Testament. Then you're not preaching the whole Bible.
Amen.
Well, I don't get into all that doctrine and stuff. Then you're not preaching the whole Bible. Well, all I do is preach Jesus. Well, if you only get to Jesus from the New Testament, you don't know where he came from. You got to read the Old Testament to get that. And you don't know why he came. You think he came just because he'd save you? It's a lot bigger than just you.
Amen.
And all this stuff in the Old Testament points to him. It's a shadow of him. It's a type of him. And then we get over here and the Apostle Paul tells us, matter of fact, he's fussing at the church. of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He's fussing at them. He's straightening them out. And then he says, and you need to get rid of the leaven. Get the sin out of your life. Because at the Passover, there was no leaven. And then he says, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now there's the Passover lamb. He's the Passover lamb.
Yes.
Now they had 3.5 years to examine him to see. You remember?
Yeah.
Now the lamb said, take him in on the 10th. And then don't do it till you've been there on the 14th, you do it. Now, that don't match exactly numbers, but Jesus started his ministry and 3.5 years later, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. He was pure and undefiled. Just like that sacrificial lamb they took in. They took the lamb in the house and lived with it to make sure it had nothing wrong with it. And these people lived with Jesus for 3.5 years while he preached and he taught and he did works, and they could find no fault in him. That's what Pilate said.
Amen.
I can find no fault in him. And they exchanged him for a murderer to be nailed to a cross.
Yes.
They let the murderer go, and they nailed the Lamb of God to the cross. Now, if you don't know what the Bible says in the Old Testament, that might look like defeat. But if you know the Old Testament types and shadows, it looks like exactly what should have happened. That Passover lamb in that house died for everybody in that house, and it was perfect, and they were not.
Yes.
That's the type of cross. Now turn to John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 before my hiccups come back. John chapter 1. Now, it's funny how so many Southern Baptist churches accuse independent fundamental Baptist churches of being ignorant. When most fundamental Baptist preachers I know more about the Bible than most Southern Baptist preachers I know. And most fundamental Baptist preachers I know at least took some Bible courses somewhere, somehow, and learned under somebody else. But these guys jump up in these Southern Baptist churches and they say, well, I'm a preacher. But they know nothing of this. Why? Because if you don't watch out, the devil, he'll get you satisfied in these little teeny weeny barely spiritual things, you know, when the deeper things of God is what really satisfies you. See, they're eating bread and drinking milk. We're eating meat tonight. This is steak, brother Mike. You wouldn't have got this in that Church of Christ you grew up in. Amen. Y'all was drinking pablum over there. You wasn't even getting real milk. What? No, I wouldn't say that. That would be the water of Jesus represents the water. I'd say y'all was drinking goat milk. Lost. It wasn't sheep. It was goat milk. Amen. And but anyway, John chapter 1, if you will, look at verse 27. We better stop in verse 26. Go to 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me. In other words, that's prophecy fulfilled right there. He was making the way for Jesus to come. Whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. Now this is what he told that crowd. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, here it is, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. There it is. The Lamb was a type of him.
Right.
So whenever John the Baptist, now look, listen to me. These Jews were not Baptists.
No.
They weren't lazy Christians. These people learned, every one of them knew how to read and write. Jews were not illiterate.
Right.
And they learned, they only had one book to learn from, the Old Testament. And they had to memorize it. And these people knew exactly what Jesus was talking about when he pointed at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He knew that Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. He knew that Jesus was the Passover lamb. He knew, listen, every one of those Jews knew that Jesus was the one that the Passover lamb represented, that not only saved their lives that day, but now the Lamb of God has come to save us and give us eternal life. So when the death angel now comes to us, he has to pass over us. He can't take us to hell. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Yes. And so everybody there knew exactly what John was talking about. Now, we say this in the average Baptist church today, and I have to spend 15 minutes explaining it. Why is that? The prince of the power of the air has destroyed the best he can Christian biblical knowledge. You know how? Think about that word. The prince of the power of the air. TV, radio, internet has watered down, diluted, polluted the Word of God, and the devil is in charge of every bit of that. Now, I'm not saying everything on the internet is bad. It's not. We're on it. I'm not saying everything on TV is bad. Of course, you'd be real hard to find something. I'm not saying everything on the radio is bad. There's good Christian, fundamental Christian stations. I understand all that. But the majority of stuff has stolen people's spirituality who are saved and are on the way to heaven, and they wouldn't recognize the Lamb of God today if he showed up because they don't know what to look for. And when he does come, he's going to catch them asleep because they have no idea about the deeper things of God, and types and shadows are one of the deeper things of God. In one place he says, "My people, they perish for the lack of knowledge." Yes. I'm going to tell you something else too. Christian publishing houses, they give out these little tiny... look, I'm not against daily devotionals, but if that's all you read, you're going to be a weak Christian. If all you read is one or two verses and a chapter, a paragraph of what somebody says about those, some little touchy-feely, feel-good thing, you're not going to know what the Bible says hardly at all.
That's right.
Because the way those people make money is to make you feel good.
Yep.
You'll never read one of those daily devotionals that says 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's commonly reported that there's fornication among you, and this guy's shacking up with his stepmama. And that's you, buddy. And if you don't get right, you're going to die.
Amen.
When was the last time you saw a devotion like that? Amen. But see, the prince of the power of air, he's done this stuff. All right, now, that same mentality, once it gets into TV and once it gets into the air on the radio and the internet and all that, and people get it in their head, then what do they want when they go to church?
Same thing.
Same
thing.
Give me some milk, preacher. I need some milk. I'm hurting over here, preacher. I need some milk. Well, if I give you what you need, it's going sometimes going to hurt worse. What we need to do is get us a bottle of biblical methylate or mercurochrome. Amen. You know what mercurochrome is, don't you? Did they use that in the Air Force?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Or a bottle of rubbing alcohol, you know, and just pour it on them, you know. But I am so happy that when I got saved, God put down in my heart a desire to know the Word of God. More than anything else. That's why I took that thing home and I'd read it and read it and read it. You can ask my wife. I took it to work. When my job was running good, I had one of those jobs that could just run for hours. As long as it didn't break down, I was fine. And I'd sit there and I'd read it and I'd read it and I'd read it. At lunchtime, I'd read it. Let me tell you something. It filled my soul.
Amen.
And then a man came by one day, Wayne Henson. He took me in the prayer room, led me to the Lord, and later on, he brought me a Winn-Dixie. He worked at Winn-Dixie. He bought me a Winn-Dixie bag, grocery bag, of cassette tapes of old-fashioned barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling preachers.
Amen.
And the first one I put in was by a man named Ed Ballou on hell. I laid there and cried. I had the flu. That's why I could listen. I was laying in bed. I laid there and cried like a baby while that man preached on hell.
Yes.
And then I heard another by a man named Dr. Harold Seitler, Can God Supply a Table in the Wilderness? He preached that Old Testament. And I sat there and rejoiced while I had the flu. And I went through those tapes and I took them back. He said, "You want some more?" I said, "You got any?" Amen. Now, nowadays, I don't even know preachers on TV anymore. I don't. I'm at church, by the way, while they're on. Amen. I'm at church. I don't know who they are. I'm at church. I leave the house at 9 something. I don't know who's on Sunday morning, who's on the radio or who's on television. I'm at church. But I am glad that God put me under some men that taught the Bible. Now, Bully Farnberry won me to the Lord. He loved souls. He was a soul winner. That's all he ever preached, how to get saved and know it. But I left there and went to that Bible Institute at Blessed Oak, Dr. Wayne Smith, and all he taught was doctrine. Every sermon was doctrine. And man, I just, like pouring it down. I loved it. And I could name some other preachers that stood for. But I'm glad that I know about these types in the Old Testament. You know why? It makes the New Testament even better.
Yes.
Now next week I'm going to teach you on the peace offerings. Peace offerings. But tonight I'm glad to know the Lamb of God. Ain't you? I mean, I know Him. I met Him. That day I got saved, Preacher Falkenberry didn't say it this way, but he was preaching just like John the Baptist. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of Ron Roddy."
Yes.
Amen. Amen. People that's saved, I can't do much with them, but I'm telling you what, those sinners, all you got to do is point them to Jesus. All right, get your